You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, Season 3, Episode 20. Some good, some bad.
Things are happening. We're not exactly winning every baseball game.
Things are happening, and there's something to be said for that, you know?
We won a series this week.
We did, and which is very
exciting. For the longest time, that was all we wanted.
Yeah, and we've done that kind of a couple times recently.
They win series.
So, you know, like, what are you going to do? How upset can you be about that? They sandbagged us so hard that there's, like, no way that we could even be disappointed with that remotely right now.
If they had simply won today, they would have gone 1-1-1 in the three series. They would have won one, lost one, and tied one. But that's not how it would have gone.
If they would have done that all year, we'd be in a much better position than we're in right now.
Yeah, we'd be 500-esque. Anyways,
even with
happen that way.
There's some good stuff to talk about, even if we didn't win today. I still there were some positives from today. Anyway, but we'll get that later.
Positives in general from this week, and we'll slowly but surely get to those. But let's start with the Twins sweeping the A's.
Honestly,
doesn't even feel like a sweep. Like, we didn't get destroyed, you know?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Harping on that same point we brought up at the start of last episode. Just like, as long as they're not getting skunked every day, it doesn't feel that bad anymore.
No.
So yeah, they lost 5-4. I wonder if this was the last Fuji day.
Could have been.
It was a big day for the pitching staff. Waldichuk, Pruitt, Felipe, Long, Ersig, Moll, and Fujinami all pitched. Days lost 5-4. This must have been the Major League debut. I don't know how I didn't think of that immediately, but must have been the debut game for Soderstrom and Gelof.
I believe so, it was.
This was a very exciting night for A's fans. Not much happened with those two. Gelof did get his first big league hit, a double, which was high off the right center field wall. Barely missed going out.
Mm-hmm. He really got a hold of it.
And aside from that, not much to say. One hit from seven different A's, including doubles from Peterson and Kemp, and a triple from Langeliers. but they just didn't quite have enough juice to overcome the two runs surrendered by Fujinami in the ninth, and the A's lost 5-4.
And that is, you know, that's sort of a developing theme this year. Just not quite having enough gas. And that's what happened in this game. But it was good. I mean, Zach Geloff power to, like, right, the opposite field, like, right center, is something that's popped up a couple times now. And I am very much okay with it continuing to pop up. It's a great sign. It means he's putting good swings on the ball.
As we will discuss, he's off to a pretty decent start. In the next game, he got his first big league triple. The A's lost this game 10-7. But not through lack of trying. Noda and Brown each homered. Did they go back to back? I don't think they did.
No.
Nope. Bleday got on base in between.
Yeah.
Geloff got two stolen bases. Man, he's a well-rounded individual.
He is. He's got some pop. He's got some speed. He seems to, you know, see the ball pretty well. We're going to be talking about him plenty.
We had some of our more favorite pitchers go this day, one of which we haven't seen in a very long time, Freddie Tarnock.
Absolutely.
Didn't do great, but he did pitch, and that is better than nothing. He had 2 2/3 innings, gave up 2 hits, 2 runs, struck out 2, walked 3, gave up 1 bomb. Hogan Harris pitched 2. We love Hogan. Not such a great day for Hogan, unfortunately.
Yeah, too many walks.
And that seems to be his big issue. I mean, that's the big issue for the whole pitching staff, that and getting hit incredibly hard.
Yeah. Yeah,
if the walks and the home runs were better. Harris.
No, which is good. Yeah, and he had a little bit of bad luck. You know, like, as you said, not all of those balls were, like, totally hammered. So, and I think, you know, these conversations, too, also bring up that the defense just isn't that good. So some of these things end up hits, and maybe with better people on defense, some of them wouldn't be hits, you know? But anyway, yeah, it's still not a great day of pitching regardless. Mm. Regardless of what was going on defense.
Oh, man, the next day, a very familiar 5-4 loss.
Yeah. I mean, I think, as we've mentioned before, the amount of one-run losses that they're experiencing would be killing me if they were, like, anywhere close to good, you know? Season. Yeah.
Because it is Sears a little day. Crazy. J.P. Sears Day didn't go as planned. He did fine, actually, looking back at it. No walks, 7 strikeouts, 3 runs, 4 hits.
Long ball still a problem, but...
It was, the 2 home runs hurt. Erceg kind of imploded again. Man, when he has a bad day, he just doesn't get anybody out.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another Fuji day. This must have been the last Fuji day.
This could have been. For
those who do not know.
Yes. I thought it was against the Twins, so I agree. I thought it was the last one, but this could be it. But anyway, yeah, Erceg is a little too much Jekyll and Hyde right now. You know? When he's good, he's really good. But when he's bad, yeah, you said it, man. He is not good at all.
This is at least the second outing in a couple weeks where he's gotten nobody out and given up multiple runs.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the only reason this line wasn't uglier is because they just pulled him earlier than when they pulled him last time. So, but yeah, Geloff was good. Geloff was good again. 2 hits.
2 more hits.
A double. Yeah, loving him. Soderstrom had a hit and a walk. At this point, he was looking pretty good. We will discuss how he has started to struggle a little bit.
Small sample size and all that. Jordan Diaz hit a ding-dong.
He did indeed.
He's looking okay. He is looking okay indeed. And I have recently been reminded he is 22 years old.
And I'm also very excited for him to just play for the rest of the year. You know, I wonder if that'll cure some of his ails. If he just knows that he's going to play every day for the next few months, you know?
Yeah, that never hurts anybody. On to the next series, which was a lot more fun. It's always fun to beat the Red Sox. first game didn't go so hot, though. Lost 7-0. Almost got no hit. Lo and behold, Ryan Noda broke up the no-no.
Yeah. I think fairly early on, right? I think it was like first or second inning.
Yeah, in fact, what I'm saying makes no sense now that we talk it out, because, you know.
Well, they only ended up with one hit and three walks. So four base runners, 18 strikeouts. Nick Pivetta, 6 no-hit innings following an opener with 2 walks.
Struck out 13. Freaking franchise record for reliever strikeouts in a game. Not great.
Yeah, just kind of a listless appearance from the offense. Yeah, Noda with a hit. Geloff with a walk. Cody Thomas with a walk. Well, I like Cody Thomas. We'll talk about Cody Thomas.
We like Cody Thomas. I wasn't really expecting to like Cody Thomas, but I do like him.
Me too. So yeah, 7-0. Got mowed down a little bit. Not very fun.
No.
Next game was super awesome.
1-3-0.
And then we mowed them down. Luis Medina was amazing. Ryan Noda also in this game homered and doubled after taking a ball off the chin in warm-ups and breaking his jaw.
That happened in warm-ups?
Yeah, he was taking ground balls in warm-ups, and one just popped up and got him. Wow. So he homered and doubled with a broken jaw.
That's incredible. I didn't know that part.
Yeah. And Luis Medina was pretty sick. He seems to have really, really found something. And, he's the second guy this year after JP Sears to seem to have really found something. But, man, Medina's a little bit more electric than Sears is when he's on, you know.
Totally. J.J. Bleday had a good day at the plate. He hit a Megatator.
He did.
2-run home run. And for some reason, I thought he did a lot more this game, but he's just looking pretty good at the plate lately.
I think we'll talk more about it later. He does quite a few more things, I think, in between this game and where we are right now also. So we're going to have more chances to talk about him. But he's been hitting. He's been taking his walks, and when he has seen mistakes, he's been crushing them pretty consistently, which is awesome.
He's another
but yeah, a win. 3-0 win.
Got 3 holds and a save in this game. Wow. Another Fuji day, so it's still not the last Fuji appearance. Maybe this was
Trevor
the
May.
One.
Trevor May is fixed, seemingly. He's looking great.
I watched his most recent vlog today, and Mackie fell in love with him. She's like, wow, this guy's amazing.
He is. He's so nice. It's why we were so excited when they signed him. You know?
Yeah, in his vlog, he's just like giving out cookies to all the security guards and stuff. It's good stuff.
I mean, he seems like a guy that might have a good time being an A still, you know? Even if things aren't going perfectly.
He went on John Boy Media and said closing out the boycott game is the top 3 moment in his career. That's pretty
cool. It was a pretty cool moment to watch as a fan, I'm not going to lie.
It was.
You know? But that's nice to hear. That is very nice to hear, actually. I agree with him. I'm glad it was, because it was a big moment for me as a fan. So, okay, 3-0 win. And then, what did we do, Corey? We won again.
Back-to-back wins.
And J.J. Bleday homered again.
That's what...
Along with his friends Cody Thomas and Jace Peterson. It was a 2-run homer party, dude. Won the first, second, and fourth.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you hit so many home runs and then the opponent starts creeping back up on you and you're like, how can we possibly lose? We've hit 3 home runs.
Yeah, and then you're just like, I guess we need to hit more home runs, right? Like, that's the only solution.
But they didn't. They decided to stick with their 3 2-run bombs and see if it would hold.
And it did.
It did.
It did hold.
They did get a lot of hits throughout the day. They got 10 hits, but yeah, they couldn't push any more across.
Jordan Diaz with 2 hits. Tony Kemp with 2 hits. Cody Thomas, as we said, homered, had another hit. Jace Peterson walked twice. You see J.J. Bleday's OPS there, up to 726. That number is okay, all things considered.
It's over 700.
Yeah. And it might even be higher now. It was at 726 at this game. But, yeah, overall pitched pretty well, I guess. Waldichuk was Waldichuk. You know, I mean, he's going to have to really show me something before I start to believe that he has a whole nother level that he can get to, you know?
I'm not sure I really even see starting pitcher in his future at the moment.
He has not been very good.
Seems like a long shot to be a four or five guy.
He's been pretty bad.
But you never know. There are some similarities I see between him and Shamanai, actually. Like, if he just could sharpen things up a little bit, it'd be a totally different story.
He does throw. He has kind of weird arm action, and he can throw pretty hard sometimes. So, you know, there is some stuff there. He got drafted. You know, I mean, he's got to have something going on. But not recently, honestly.
Is this one of those? Did Felipe come in to help the mess that Ursig created? Am I remembering this correctly? I think Felipe had a pretty decent appearance. We haven't talked much about Angel Felipe. He's 25 years old.
I remember we talked about him when he made his debut, for sure. We talked about him a little bit. Not a ton, but we did talk about him.
There's nothing to be mad about his body of work with the A's so far.
No, he's been better. He's off to a better start than Fuji was when he started with us, you know.
Through five games, he's pitched 6.1 innings, giving up 2 hits, 1 earned run, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts.
Keep it up. We're here for you, Angel.
Yep. And that was the Red Sox series. We beat Boston. Boy, does that feel good.
It does. That's a fun series win.
Then the Astros came to town. And we were real excited to hopefully beat the Astros. But
we were so ready for a 4-game sweep.
Didn't work out that way.
No.
JP France decided to do his best ace impression, and he did a pretty good job. Seven innings.
He popped us up pretty good. Out
five. Gave up 1 run. Hogan Harris also did his best. 6 innings. Struck out 6. Gave up 2. And then Freddie Tarnot came in for the last 3, had a pretty good go at it, only gave up 1.
And no walks from Hogan Harris is huge for me in this game. You know? And this is such a good lineup. And he did great. You know? Like if he can keep it up, if he can do this 2 or 3 more times, then I'm really starting to think Sears, Medina, Harris. Like in pen.
There's something there.
Yep. So, but, you know, offense didn't have much.
No, just a double from Brown and a double from Geloff and a few more scattered singles. But it's nice
Geloff
to see the extra
Geloff continues. Geloff continues to be the man, even in small ways, you know. I agree with that. The extra base hits are awesome.
Specifically from Geloff is what I was thinking.
Yes.
Next day, a JP
Tuesday. Got what, Friday? Yep. We lost 6-4. But this game was way better.
This game, Mackie's brother, Colin, and Grandpa Lester were sitting right behind home plate. So it was pretty sweet. We got to watch them during the whole game. Took a lot of pictures with them.
We found them early and we watched them often. They were totally right there, which was very cool.
I think there were 2 or 3 people to the left of home plate, right behind the backstop. Second time we've got to see Colin do that. The first time, I believe, was 2018 or 2019, and Matt Chapman hit a walk-off against Cleveland, maybe?
I believe so. Yeah, sounds right.
We were living vicariously through them. Who did? Oh, yes. Kyle Tucker homered 3 times, which was... Yeah, you know.
Not great.
Kind of cool to see, but wish it could have been any other player against any other team type of deal.
Yeah.
We have no bad feelings for Kyle Tucker. It's not like it was Alex Bregman, you know.
No. Kyle Tucker is actually, I remember Kyle Tucker actually being one of the first dudes who kind of like came up, and I was like, I don't think I can really be mad at him, you know.
Like him and Yordan Alvarez. I'm salty that they're on the Astros, but they're really cool.
Yeah, they are very, very cool. And JP Sears did not have it today. He gave up 3 homers, 5 runs, only struck out 1. He can't be amazing every time. There are going to be some growing pains. Overall, he's still awesome. He's still maybe my favorite A of the whole season. So he's allowed to have an off day every once in a while.
I suppose that's okay. This might have been the A's debut of Taylor Scott. Claimed,
which didn't go perfectly.
Claimed from the Red Sox. We'll see what he has to offer. Numbers aren't great so far, from what I can tell. There's a reason he's being passed around.
That's true.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One other thing to note, Tony Kemp out of the leadoff spot did a great job in this game.
He's been looking good out of the leadoff spot. He's been looking much more lively.
Yep. 2 hits, including a nice hustle double to start things off. 2 games left to discuss here. We got a 4-1 victory. That happened.
Geloff's first homer.
Including a 2-for-3 day from Geloff with a walk and his first big league homer, which we alluded to earlier, was a bomb to right center.
Mm-hmm.
And he just has the sweetest looking swing we've seen maybe from anybody on the A's in like a couple of years. The willingness
definitely
to go
from
oppo,
a rookie in a while. Yeah.
The willingness to take it to the other field. Man, we've been begging for someone to do that.
Yep. It's a very advanced approach. It's a wonderful thing to watch.
Power.
Yes. He did get caught stealing, but that's okay. He tried.
Yeah, do it again. I don't care.
Yep.
Seth Brown also homered. Love a nice brownie bomb.
Yeah, Blackburn was good. Maybe a few too many walks, but still was fine. And this is the other side of the coin for Ursig.
Here he is. 4 Ks through 2. 1 hit.
And 1 hit. That's it. Yeah. So if he can do that a lot more often than he does the other thing, then we have a very solid reliever on our hands, I think.
Pruitt came in at a pretty crucial moment for Blackburn. Shut things down in 2/3 of an inning. Got awarded the win for that.
I think Austin Pruitt has proven himself a major league reliever this year.
Definitely. He has earned a spot in the bullpen. Maybe the last spot.
Yeah. Not that that's a super illustrious thing for him to have gotten a spot in the A's bullpen this year, but he has one. So.
Another save from Trevor May.
Mm-hmm.
2 walks, 2 Ks. Maybe the most Trevor May 2023 stat line of all time.
It'll work, though. I'll take
just
it.
Just get the save, but also walk with you guys along the way.
Yeah. I mean, I've come to expect it, to be honest. But it works.
It works today. Today was a pretty decent game. The A's had the lead after 6, 2-1. Gave up a run, tied it up at 7. Going into the 9th, 2-2 ball game. Chad Smith on the bump. Welcome back, Chad Smith. He got a sweet little strike him out, throw him out, double play thingy.
Yep.
It was kind of weird. Whoever was trying to steal second stopped trying to steal second, and it became a slight little pickle thing.
Yeah, what's his name? Jeremy Pena, I believe.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, there are 2 outs. It's looking good. And then freaking Mauricio Dubon, huh?
Undone by Dubon.
A tater. Decides to hit a big one. And that was it. The A's had nothing going in the bottom of the 9th. And the series was over.
Yep.
So, they're this close.
My parents were at the game, actually.
Oh, I didn't realize J.J. Bleday hit a home run today.
He did the first inning.
Yeah, he's starting to get locked in a little bit.
Yeah, this is. I'll take a little more 2 for 3 days with a homer and a walk from him, for sure. But yeah, loss.
It was a long week. We apologize for our setback here, but I was on a business trip this week, and things just didn't quite work out till tonight.
There were some things going on.
There were some things going on. What were, speaking of things, what was your moment of the week out of all those things?
The Geloff opposite field home run. It felt like the culmination of like his arrival. You know, like there was, he had shown like a little bit of pop and he had gone to the opposite field and he almost hit it out. And it was, you know, he was kind of like, there were breadcrumbs leading you to maybe it was going to be a pretty impressive one. And then as soon as he hit it, it was like, oh, like that's what we're looking for. Like you said, like it's exactly what we're looking for. So, yeah. I mean, basically Zach Geloff in general, basically, really, but that moment specifically for sure.
Yeah, my moment is the debut game for them, Geloff and Soderstrom. Maybe the most excited I've felt about an A's game since that like 7-game win streak earlier this year and the boycott. And Geloff had a nice opposite field double in that game, which was almost his first big league home run. So pretty cool moment there. And I'm just very excited that they're playing, and it doesn't seem like they're going to be sent back down anytime soon.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into those dudes. So far, through 8 games, Zach Geloff has already contributed 0.4 WAR. That's not nothing. He's got a 158 OPS plus, including a 276 batting average, 364 on base, 915 OPS. Which roughly is what he's been doing in the minors this whole time. Kind of no reason to believe this is even a fluke, even though it's a tiny sample size.
Right.
He's already got a notch in like every column on his baseball ref, including triples, home runs, stolen bases, cost stealing. He's doing it all. He's playing the game, and he looks good doing it.
He looks very comfortable out there.
He is 23. He's turning 24 pretty soon. He's born in 1999.
Wow.
In Delaware. Tyler Soderstrom is even younger. He's 21. He's on average 7 years younger than the rest of Major League Baseball. So keep that in mind. But so far, he's not having the luck Geloff is. Through 8 games, he's only got 3 hits, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. No extra base hits. He's got an OPS of 334. So he's got some work to do, but he's also catching. I saw a little article today about how Luis Medina and Tyler Soderstrom are like excited to be playing together again, be a unit, be a battery. So clearly he's got a little bit of a reputation with the pitchers as someone that they like to throw to.
Right.
Yeah, and we've talked about it a bit. Like, how do you make use of a guy like Soderstrom who can catch, but he's also supposed to be a great hitter? You don't see it too often in Major League Baseball, like a truly talented hitter stuck behind the dish. You got JT Realmuto, you got Sean Murphy. Beyond that, it's not a lot of it. So it'll be interesting to see how he handled it, the development.
It's why it's worth being very patient and seeing if he can get it all figured out, because if so, he's going to be incredibly valuable, you know, and he's at the major leagues catching and trying to hit at 21. Color me impressed, regardless of what the numbers look like on paper, you know, that is an achievement in and of itself that they think highly enough of him that they're allowing him to try and do those things.
Born in 2001.
I'm really excited about both of them. And I'm extra excited that Geloff seems to be taking it all completely in stride. You know?
Yeah, Geloff,
speaking of,
has done well. I think playing for Team Israel?
Yes.
In the WBC, probably did well to boost his confidence to be around big leaguers. I think the A's, they kind of rushed him up, but not too quickly. I think it was handled very well, and we will see how it translates.
I think the personnel development department deserves a pat on the back for him, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was whoever was in charge of the rate at which he was promoted was right. You know, he's been ready at every level, and he seems to be ready to be a major leaguer, which is earlier than I think we thought it might happen. I thought he might be like a 25 in the majors guy. But
well, this we were definitely preparing ourselves not to see these guys this year.
Yes. So it's awesome. That's, you know, like, regardless of results, it's awesome that they're up. And one of them is hitting the cover off the ball. So that's good
playing
news.
Playing a pretty mean second base.
Yeah, we need a second baseman, you know. I mean, it's not going to be Tony Kemp long term, so it's got to be someone, you know. So why not Zach Eloff?
Why not? The A's are making some subtle moves, slowly but surely. They have made their first real trade of the season. The A's traded Shintaro Fujinami to the Orioles for minor league reliever named Easton Lucas. Yeah, top tier baseball name, first name Easton.
Mm-hmm.
Just a straight up 1-for-1 swap. You know, the Fuji era didn't go so great. It was a pretty minimal risk. 1 year, $3.25 million. And it just didn't quite work out. He clearly has great stuff. But the location, to say that it is lacking, would be very kind.
Yeah, I think the nicest thing that we can say about him is that he's inconsistent.
Yep.
He throws hard and he's inconsistent.
Promptly gave up 2 runs in each of his first outings with the Orioles, so it's not like he has immediately become like a excellent version of himself with another team.
No.
And Easton Lucas has an interesting profile. I am not too displeased with this. He, let's see, where is he at? 26 years old, split time between AA and AAA this year. Over a combined about 30 innings pitched, he's got a 2.73 ERA with a very good 31.9% strikeout rate, which I will say is higher than Fuji's over his best stretch this year. And a decent 9.5% walk rate, which is, I think, about 1% higher than Fuji has been over his like recent month-long stretch of not being terrible.
I can guarantee you it was much higher than that during the ugly time.
I'm sure it was up in the 15 to 20% range.
Yeah.
And he's holding left-handers to a very meager 200, 265, 378 batting line. So I'm sure that we're going to see him real soon. He's going to be eligible for the Rule 5 draft if he's not added to the 40-man roster by the end of the season, and there's just absolutely no reason not to see what he can do. So be on the lookout for Easton Lucas to make an appearance in a game any day now, probably in the next week or two.
Welcome to Oakland, Easton.
I hope you stick.
Speaking of welcome to Oakland, Cody Thomas.
Cody Thomas
has made himself present.
He has.
He's been doing just fine.
He looks like he might be a decent hitter.
Yes, absolutely.
Melissa Lockhart has been singing his praises for years about what he's done in the minor leagues. And he has certainly earned the opportunity. I mean, so far this year in AAA, he had a 943 OPS, including 17 home runs. In 10 games with the A's so far, he's got a .318 average, .400 on base, .546 slug. That's a .946 OPS, virtually matches what he's done in AAA.
Yeah, and he's in the midst of a nice little 5-game hit streak also.
Yeah, and there's just something about the way he swings, which it's just a little different than everybody else. And I never know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. But it's a thing, and it's kind of fun to watch for.
He seems to have it working for him, too.
It's like his bat is the heaviest bat ever made, and he just slings it around.
Yeah.
But somehow doing that, he still manages to have decent control over the barrel.
Yeah, and it's like it seems like one of those things where, like, if he makes contact, it's going to go forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's like he's got so much leverage on every swing.
Yeah.
And it looks funky. It looks like he's going to roll over every pitch, but he doesn't. He still manages to hit the ball to the other side of the infield.
He does indeed.
So the jury, you know, still out on Cody Thomas. Will he be a successful big leaguer? Who knows? But the track
record. This year is a good year for us to give him a shot.
The track record is there in the minors, and I wouldn't mind seeing it pan out.
And
we got a new little game today, right?
We have a new segment. So it's nothing groundbreaking for sure, but I'm going to toss some more like analytical heavy, some more traditional. I'm just going to kind of throw a stat line at Corey. I'm going to throw two stat lines at Corey without telling them who the people are. And then I'm going to have him pick which one he thinks he would rather have on his team. It's going to be one season from one player and a different season from a different player. They're not going to be the same. They may end up being the same year sometimes, but that's not like a part of it. It doesn't have to be the same year if that does. So ends up being the same year, totally incidental. These two are not the same year. Two different players, two different seasons. Just giving you a line. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, player A. Hard hit percentage of 38.6. Isolated power of 0.236. Home run percentage of 5.4%. 27 homers, 22 doubles. Player B. Hard hit percentage of 40.3%. Isolated power of 0.183. Homer percentage 3.5%, 20 homers, 32 doubles.
This is difficult.
Similar seasons, such similar seasons, in fact, also entirely incidental. In looking these up, after I picked these two guys in these two seasons, their OPS pluses were both exactly 123 for these seasons.
I guess that both makes it harder, but also makes me feel better. It's like I can't really go wrong, right?
Yeah, there's no bad choice.
So, if I was to think about this from a keeper's league perspective, like, not only do I want him this season, but I want him in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going player B. He's got a better hard hit rate, albeit only by 2-ish%.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to believe that any lack of power he will make up for at some point just by figuring out how to put a little bit more loft under the ball.
Right.
But I love the 32 doubles. I mean, technically got a few more extra base hits than the other guy.
Absolutely.
And I don't know. I love a nice hard hit rate. I feel like sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you get lucky with home runs. And
it's true. Sometimes it could have been. Sometimes there is a strong correlation between doubles and homers for sure. You know,
I think I'd rather have a guy that hits the ball harder more often than a guy that just hits more home runs. So I guess I'm going to player B. But yeah, as you already said, pretty similar.
Offense. Okay. Do you have any guesses? I know that this is super random. Do you have any guesses? They're not. They're not.
Give me a season.
Player A, the season is 2017. And player B, the season is 2015.
And they're not A's, right?
No.
Let's see. 2017 A. Gonna say was Cole Calhoun.
It's a good guess. It was Scooter Gennett.
Scooter Gennett, huh? Man. Mm-hmm. Is that the year he hit four home runs in one game?
It was, I believe. Yes.
I was not expecting it to be Scooter Gennett.
And player what about B, player B?
From 2015?
Mm-hmm.
Alex Gordon.
Also a very good guess, but Adam Lind.
Oh, damn, dude. Haven't thought about that redheaded guy in a long time.
Adam Lind.
A true Canadian-looking fellow. Like, I don't know if he was, absolutely, but just the fact that he played on the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm. For quite a while.
Just looked like he could be a lumberjack.
Had a great season in 2009 with the Blue Jays, actually. 932 OPS, 46 doubles, 35 homers. OPS plus at 141. When he was on, he was on. But yeah, so that's a new thing we're trying to do. We're not 100% tied to it, but we may try it. And we got to do the fantasy. We've been sitting on this fantasy matchup for a while now.
Yes, we neglected to discuss this due to the All-Star break. But going into the All-Star break, Dan and I made some picks, and he definitely made the better ones.
I picked Francisco Lindor and Sandy Alcantara.
I was thinking, I don't know if we ever discussed like how we did with our picks prior to the break. Maybe we did.
You're right, we didn't. I'm getting ahead a week. Okay, so I picked Bailey Ober and Mickey Moniak. Bailey Ober got me 20.9, and Mickey Moniak got me 27.7 for a cool total of, what is that, 48.6?
Mickey Moniak, the maniac. And I went with Sonny Gray and Anthony Rizzo for a whopping combined total of 13. Sonny Gray had a bad outing.
He did. And Rizzo actually homered and doubled today, so he may be getting back on track, but he's been struggling a little bit for sure. Ever since he bonked his head on Fernando Tatis' knee.
Well, those roided out knees will get you. new picks. Okay. Francisco Lindor and Alcantara for you. I'm going.
Those are my picks.
Josh Jung and Blake Snell.
Snell's cooking with gas right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, again, we thought of these picks approximately 8 to 9 days ago. So the landscape has shifted a little bit.
Gonna stick with them, though.
We gotta stick with them, yeah. We'll see how it goes. In other news, Dan and I have made a sweet fantasy trade.
We have indeed, one of my favorite ones of all time.
We have a pretty epic week and a half long matchup that I presumably am coming out on top of after today.
You did. You won by, I think, about 100. It was the fantasy matchup that, like, straddled the All-Star break. So it ended up being, I think, like 11 days or something like that, 12 days instead of a week. So, yeah, we got some extra days. It was pretty close. Both of our pitchers were doing pretty bad for a stretch of time. And then Corey's got it together a little bit better than mine did. So he got me. But we're both still looking pretty good in terms of playoffs in that league. So it's all just kind of about maintaining at this point. But the first – did we play earlier in the year? We must have, right?
I think we did. Yeah.
This was definitely the most epic matchup, though.
The trade we lined up, though. Pretty sweet. I'm sending you Randy Rosarena. You're sending me J-Rod. And then, additionally, you're sending me Luzardo, and I'm giving you Lucas Giolito.
Who both pitched very well today.
Today, yep.
In their last outings as members of our fantasy teams.
I think Randy and Jose also had pretty decent days.
I know Jose stole. I know Julio stole a bag.
I think he might have hit a home run today or yesterday. Anywho, we're very excited. And feels like a very nice, even trade.
Yeah, and we'll keep you updated on how that works out, obviously. But yeah, it feels pretty even. And other than that, a little bit of a longer one because we had some things to catch up on, but I think that might be all that we have for this week.
I think it's just time to see what we got next. We got two against the Giants. Oh, we got a double off day week. Freaking lame. Two games set against the Giants Tuesday and Wednesday, including the Unite the Bay boycott game. It'll be very interesting to see how that goes. I mean, heck, I'm feeling decent about it. We know enough Giants fans to know that they, you know, they have respect for the A's, and they tend to want, you know, they want us to be happy. They want the A's to stay, I think. So,
well, and the Giants as an organization released a statement today saying that the A's were an integral part of both the East Bay, obviously, and the Bay Area. So solidarity is very important, and we need all the help that we can get right now. So shout out Giants fans. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Let's keep the movement going.
Yeah.
And then after that, 3 in Denver against the Rockies, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's going to be a kind of a weird week, a little bit of a interleague type week.
Playing in Colorado, maybe a chance for Soderstrom to put some balls into orbit a little bit, get himself going.
And don't forget that he's from Turlock, so playing in San Francisco will also be fun for him, I would assume.
It's true, some family there, probably.
Yep. Oh, and then after that, we get the Dodgers, and then the Giants again. Okay, it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks here. Not exactly a friendly slate against the Giants and the Dodgers. Beating the Rockies should be doable, theoretically. We'll see how it goes. By the time we talk to you next, which should hopefully be, I guess we're probably only going to get the two Giants games in. So, yeah.
Wednesday
or Friday. Wednesday, well, Thursday, Friday.
And that'll be good, though, because we'll have a good chance to talk about how the second iteration of the boycott goes.
We'll definitely have something to talk about.
We'll have feedback for you guys, for sure. But that is it. We will talk to you guys in a couple days, because this one's going up today, tomorrow, tonight, probably. This one's going up probably Sunday. And then we'll be back probably Thursday morning. So, and then we're going to be back on probably every Wednesday, Thursday. We're discussing a little bit, maybe trying to get a few more things going, but for now we're just going to be doing the once a week. So yeah, we will talk to you guys in a few days. And in the meantime, go A's.
Go A's.
Bye.